I want to share with you today something that I believe is critically important to leadership, in particular church leadership. It's a topic that's difficult for a pastor to get up and teach. In particular, South Arkansas. I want to say this kindly. This is a different world from where I've come from. The principle that I want to share with you today is the honor principle. And I'm going to give you plenty of scripture for that. What we can say from the beginning is you will never, ever receive from anybody you cannot honor. That's why you have people hopping from this church to this church to this church to this church to that church. Then they run out of churches and start over. I've got people in my church that, and this is no lie, since we've been here now for almost 6 years, they've made the full circle 3 times. They walk in the back door and I'm thinking, why are you here? You're not going to be here long. You can't honor me. You can't honor my position. You're not going to be here. Because I'm going to say something that will irritate you, aggravate you, make you mad, and you're going to go somewhere else. God doesn't call pastors to go to a church to make them happy. You know, that sounds almost like an oxymoron. Like, well, I mean, no. I'm not called to make people happy. I'm called to minister. Now, if that process makes someone happy, we're thankful for that. But sometimes it doesn't, but you're going to have to know that you're called, you're planted, you're rooted, you're not going anywhere. This is where God calls you. This is where God puts you. And where He puts you, He's got you there for a reason. I get a call, and I've been pastor a long time, and I don't care how many times it happens, it still hurts. We got a call this week. Well, Pastor Bob, we've been praying and we feel led to go to Brand B Church. And I'm thinking, if my memory serves me right, you were in Brand B, you weren't happy there, so you went to Brand A, and then you weren't happy there, so you left Brand A and came to the Redeemer. Now you're going back to Brand B because God's leading you there. Folks, that's nonsense. That's doing what you want to do out of offense and blaming it on God because He's leading you. That's all that is. And it happens all the time. That's why there are 111 churches in Ashley County, most of which God didn't raise up, had nothing to do with. They came from a split, from a split, from a splinter to a whatever. Somebody got disgruntled and somebody got mad and said, well, by God, we can just do this ourselves. No, you can't either. See, the thing about ministry and the thing about a pastoring, the thing about being called to be a pastor is I can make this look easy. Because I'm gifted to do it. I can stand up in front of a group of people, preach the word, teach the word. I can make them laugh. I can make them interested. I can make them think. I can do that because that's my calling. And I can make it look easy. And so people in out there, they think, well, if I say something that irritates them or makes them mad, they think, well, that looks easy to me. I could do that. No, you can't do that. You can't. Without that calling / gifting slash anointing slash impartation, you can't do that. So with that said, God has set up a system called the local church with its frailties, with its imperfections, with its humanity, with its excesses, all of the negative things you can say about the local church. This is the vehicle that God uses and is going to continue to use until He comes. The local church will never be done away with this side of heaven. There was a movement back in when I lived in Tulsa many years ago. It was called... people were saying, well, we're raising up teaching centers. And it was like a church. They met on Sunday and Wednesday, but it's not a church, it's a teaching center. Well, those never did go over because God didn't raise up teaching centers. He raised up local churches. And with that, He put a pastor over that. Okay. Let me go back a little bit because I want to talk about honor, what it is, what it means. Now, granted, I'll give you the upfront. There will always be excesses. Any topic that's meaningful in the Bible, somebody will take it too far. I don't care what it is. Someone out there will take it further than it was meant to go. That's true with this. But we'll keep it in the biblical context, perspective, perimeters, and let's look at it. When I was a teenager, I'd gotten saved. I was excited. I was happy. We didn't have church like we have now. We had three services a week, choir practice on Friday night. We our whole life revolved around church. Well, I was in the adult choir. That's where everybody's up on stage, and we'd practice on Friday nights. Well, there was a man there. Much older, much, much older than I. We were up practicing. Well, the pastor was the choir director. And so he got bent out of shape about something. And right there, now I didn't know local churches ever had problems or squabbles. I'd gotten saved. My eyes are like wide open. Wow, this is great. I love this. This man in front of everybody just accosted the pastor, and made him look so silly and foolish in front of everybody. And I remember thinking, I don't understand this. I've never seen this. But something down here tells me that that's not right. Something down here tells me that he's out of line, though I don't have any scripture. I'm not smart enough to know that. Something's wrong about that. Well, it went on, and you know what? I followed that man. I don't mean followed him. I watched him through the years. That man became a disgruntled, bitter man that just, he was alive yet dead. He died of a slow, debilitating, horrible disease that just lingered on and on and on and on. And though you can't attribute his death to that one thing, when that's in there, it's going to come out in numerous areas of life. When you can't honor leadership and respect who God has set in a position, then something is going to go south in your life, and it's not going to be good. And yet, I see down here, and maybe it's been everywhere. I've never been in an area this small, but I see a mentality where, well, by God, I've been here. I'll help build this church. My granddaddy. Help lay this carpet, and I'm going to be here when you're gone. I've had people say that to me, and I'd say, I'm going to preach your funeral. I did. I said, I'm going to preach your funeral. And I don't say that as a smart aleck. And I don't say that because I'm special. I say that because where God calls someone, He doesn't just hip-hop all over the county and all over the country. And, well, I'm called here for a month, and I'm called here for 6 weeks, and then God moves me over here for a month. And he sets those in the church. And when we got the call to come to Southeast Arkansas, It was a God thing that it happened the way it happened, but I'm not coming here to make you happy. If that happens in the process, I'm thankful, and it does very, very often happen. But my main objective and my heart and my goal, my drive is to minister, to bring something of heaven to you that changes and alters your life for the good. In 1 Samuel 2:30, don't turn there. The scripture says this: those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise or disdain me shall be lightly esteemed. I don't want to be lightly esteemed. I'm going to honor people. Doesn't matter gender, doesn't matter race, doesn't matter age. Who God has raised up, I will honor. You cannot receive from people you can't honor. In leadership as a pastor, I think I may have mentioned this last week. You're at the pinnacle of a ministry, meaning at the top. You see all angles, all views, all sides, all dimensions of that ministry. There's not anything about Church of the Redeemer that I don't know about. Nothing. I know about everything. Because I'm up here and I can see it all. Well, sometimes people down here will look up there and think, well, why is he doing that? I don't understand. Well, why is Pastor Bob doing that? You don't see what I see. See, pastors have the privilege of spending a great deal of time in prayer and study. Not everybody can do that. I feel fortunate. I feel blessed to have that opportunity. And I'm not going to squander it. I know pastors that play golf 5 days a week. I don't know how you do that. I'm not doing that. I see my obligation is this is my job, this is my office, my calling, and I'm gonna be with the Lord. I'm gonna be in prayer, and because I'm there, then I see, I know, I discern, I have insight into things that people sitting in the congregation, they don't. It's not that God thinks I'm better. It's that's the position, that's the calling. Well, if you're down here and I make a decision up here, well, I don't understand that. What do you do that for? I don't think I've ever seen that before. And then you start, gripe. And then someone at a restaurant says, well, did you hear what Pastor Bob did? Well, I'm about, and then you got two people, and then those two people, they run into someone else, and by the time it's all over, you've got 10 or 12, 15, half a dozen people, and you don't know. You don't know. So that comes back to the principle of honor. I may be down here. This is where I am. I'm not up there. But God has put me here. He has placed me here. I don't question that. I'm not trying to get out. So I'm going to respect and I'm going to honor that position. If I don't understand it, it's none of my business. Let me tell you something about God. If the leader's wrong, he's big enough to straighten it out. You know? If the leader's wrong, he can handle it. Let's go over to real familiar Ephesians chapter 4. I don't go over there. I'll just quote it for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. And he gave gifts. And he gave gifts to men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. What we know is the fivefold ministry. And he gave gifts to men. How do you treat a gift? How do you treat a gift? You know, you don't get a gift and throw it on the floor and kick it around. You treat a gift with respect and honor, and you're thankful, and you appreciate that gift. He gave gifts to men or to mankind. And those come in five packages: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We'll come back to that verse in a little bit. I learned this principle way, way back when I lived in Tulsa. A man by the name of Buddy Harrison. He started Harrison House Publishing Company. He was Brother Hagin's son-in-law. He started a church in Tulsa called Faith Christian Fellowship. And I remember when he would have in a guest speaker, he would have everybody stand and recognize and honor that minister that was there to minister. He said, this man or this woman is a gift to our church, and we're going to honor that gift by standing. Sometimes we'd clap, sometimes we'd do other things. And I learned that because I didn't know that growing up. But I learned that principle. Tammy used to work. Now listen to me. This name will sound familiar. This preacher will be familiar to you. And you've heard all of the negative, and there has been a lot of negative in the last several years. But in its heyday, he had one of the biggest churches in America, Bob Tilton. Tammy was, what was your position there? Personnel manager for that whole ministry. That's where she learned that principle of honor. You cannot receive from anyone that you cannot honor. Let's look in the Bible. I do want you to go on this one. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We're pretty familiar with this, but I want to go into it a little bit deeper and maybe take a little bit different direction to bring out some things. Let's just read it, and then we'll come back and comment. Chapter 6, verse 1. Then he went out from there, and he came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Apparently he was telling them, giving testimony of things that have happened in other places. And then in verse 3, the whole tenor of the meeting changes. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. They were offended at him. What did he do to cause offense? All he's doing is ministering, telling of the miraculous things that have happened, telling stories of other miracles that have happened in other cities, and they were offended. Why? Because they brought him down to their level. What I know his brother. He grew up in this town. I knew him when he was a teenager. I knew him when he was a little boy. And you let all of those things start rolling around, and all of a sudden the effect of the calling, the effect of the anointing now is negated for you because you have brought him down. Let's read on. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could there, this is quoting the King James, "Now he could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." Jesus could not do what he wanted to do because of several factors, and I want to look at that. He said a prophet is not without honor. Okay, we know prophet is one of those five: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. A prophet is not without honor. An apostle is not without honor. An evangelist is not without honor. A pastor, a teacher, is not without honor. In other words, he connected his ability or inability to minister on that high level, not just a few sick people, but on that high miraculous level, not to his anointing, but to their inability to honor who he was and what he had and what he was called to do. That same principle is true in every church across America. It's true right here in Ashley County. It's true right there in this church. It's true in my church. There have been one or two, one in particular, a very influential individual in this county, has a high position, a well-known position, makes a lot of money, that went to my church. And for whatever reason, thought that they could do it as well as I could. Well, you can't. And it's not because I'm so gifted and talented. It's calling, folks. It's anointing. It's gifting. That makes the difference. And everybody in a pew can recognize anointing. Everybody in the pew can recognize giftings and callings. I don't have to get up and announce, "Well, now, folks, I want you to know that I'm very, very gifted. If I've got it, you'll know it." Years ago, I had a man come in my church when I pastored somewhere else. I'd never seen him before, and I introduced myself. "I'm Pastor Bob." And he says, "I'm Dr. So-and-so." Okay. Well, I found out later he was a chiropractor. Not to minimize that, but you didn't go to medical school. But he wanted me to know he's a doctor. Well, I don't introduce myself. I'm a prophet. I have gifts of the Spirit working in me. I got the word of knowledge working. No, if you've got it, we'll all know it. Right? It's like someone, don't tell us you can sing. We'll know it. You know? You ever seen someone that just thought they could sing and everybody out there knew, you don't have that gift. You know, if you say you're called to play the drums, we'll know it. If you have no rhythm, we'll know it. Jesus goes into a place, to his hometown, and he wants to do what he's done, what he's already given testimony to in all of these other places, because they marveled at all of the things that had happened in these previous meetings. He wanted to do it there. But he couldn't. He couldn't. Now, very important words are the difference between couldn't and wouldn't. It wasn't like, well, they didn't honor me, so I'm not going to do anything for them. It wasn't like that. He still wanted to, but he couldn't. He couldn't. See, we always think and we hear in a very religious way, well, God can do anything. Well, he can't lie. He can't change. He can't operate in the miraculous. Apparently. As he wills, because he wanted to do that. But he couldn't. Now, let's dig a little bit deeper here. He marveled there in verse 6. He says he marveled at their unbelief. But was that the deepest root? I don't think it was. I don't believe the unbelief was the deepest root. The unbelief was a symptom of the deepest root, which was no honor. I tell my platform, now I'm not gifted singing. I can't play anything. I can barely clap on beat. I know my limitations. But God has given me a wonderful, talented platform that can just knock it out of the park. I can't do any of that. But here's what I want all of you guys to do. Start on time. Our church starts at 10:30. I don't want to start at 10:33. I don't want to start at 10:35. You say, well, Pastor Bob, they're still dragging in. I don't care if there's two people out there. We want to start at 10:30, because if you train people to get here at 10:35, then they'll start coming at 10:40. So then you start at 10:40, then they'll show up at 10:45. And by the time that cycle's run, you're starting at 11. No, church starts at 10:30. So I want all the platform with all your gifts and talents, and I appreciate you. You're wonderful. I can't do any of it. I thank God for you guys. Start on time. Now, is that bad of me? Am I just a terrible pastor? You need to give people time to get here. You get to work on time. You get to school on time. You get to the beauty shop on time. You get to the barber on time. You can get anywhere you want to get on time. You can get to church on time. And if we start cutting you slack, it's just going to get later and later and later. You know, you go to the doctor, you get there on time, and you know you're going to have to wait, but you get there on time. It's funny how we will honor everybody in our life except God's house. So I tell the platform, I am thankful for you guys. Man, talent beyond belief. I can't do that. But see, I'm up here. You're down here somewhere, all of you. I want you to start. I want you on the platform, mic in hand, instrument in hand, ready to go at 10:29, at 10:30, we're going. And they do it. I mean, they're faithful at it. And we're training people to get there on time. That's a whole other thing about just dragging in the turn. I mean, we're giving honor to the God of life. We're giving honor to the God that we're going to spend eternity with. We are giving Him a segment of our week, because He's given us life and breath and money and health and wholeness and happiness and joy and a family and peace and all of these things. And we come dragging in at 10:40. This is the day. This is the day. The definition of honor from the Greek. Something regarded as valuable, precious, weighty, such as gold. That's a pretty high standard. Let me read it again. Now, this is from the Greek, not Webster. From the Greek. Something regarded as valuable, precious, weighty, such as gold. Other definitions would include appreciation, esteem, favorable, regard, respect. Again, from the Greek, the opposite of honor is to treat as common or ordinary, menial, easily done away with. Sad that God would raise up a man or a woman because He loves His church, He loves His people, and He would somehow get them from point A to point B, B being Ashley County, because He loves you, because He cares about you, because He wants the good for you, and He would do that, and then we can't honor and respect and treat as valuable what God has given to us. Several years ago, I went back to my home church in Tulsa, the church where I grew up. I mean, that's just a little Assembly of God church. I grew up in that thing, and after I went off to college, then, you know, my life went different directions. Well, one day I was coming back to town. My mom still lived there, and they asked me if I would come and preach. I said, yeah, sure. So I went back, and I thought, man, this is so exciting. I get to go preach to my home church. You know, and there's all standing out there looking at me like, there's little Bobby up there. Oh, I remember when he used to be in Sunday school. I remember when he was so ornery. They didn't get anything out of that. Now, I'm not putting them down for not recognizing they didn't know. But I could have been the Apostle Paul. And they're not going to receive. Because all they could see is me as a little boy. And how they had me in this class and that class, and how I did this and that. That's all they saw. They didn't see me as a man of God. They didn't see me as called by God. They didn't see me with a gift, with a calling, with an anointing. They didn't see it. And consequently, nothing I had that night could I give them that would benefit them. Jesus goes to his hometown with a heart to do what he's done everywhere else. And that is to better people's lives, whether it's physically, emotionally, relationally. I mean, all the areas of life, financially. He wants to better their lives. And all they can see is, well, we knew you as a little boy. We knew you as a teenager. And that kind of thought derailed the honor principle and severed them, cut them off from what Jesus wanted to do for them. Now, no pastor that I know of, starting with me, has ever been perfect at everything about church, church work, ministry, etc. Last night, we went over to Cloverdale. They were having a sectional AG meeting, and Pastor John asked us if we wanted to come, and you know, we go to support them. I'm not AG, you know. But I don't have any opposition. So we went over there basically just to be with them, support them. Pastor John preached last night, and in his message he said this. He said, every Sunday night I go home and I sit in my chair and I think, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I wonder how they took that. Oh, I wonder if I should have given that illustration. And I'm sitting there with my eyes bugged out. I thought, I'd do the same thing. I'd do the same thing. Maybe every pastor does that. Do you do that? So with that said, there's no level of a rival. I know everything. I'm always right. But the heart of the matter is, there's that gift that there's an outflow of anointing that comes with that gift that's going to benefit your life. It will benefit your life. And when I don't mean your life at church two or three times a week. I'm talking about your life at home, your life at the job, your life with your kids, your life with your money, your life with your future, your life. You say, how does that happen? I don't know. That's a mystery to me. How does one sermon by one person go out and touch that person's life, touch that one, touch that one, touch that one, when they all have different needs? They're all in different situations. They're all facing different obstacles, and yet one person, one sermon, one God, one anointing, one Bible, one time, go out and touch everybody. How does that happen? It's a calling, it's a gifting, it's an anointing that God has set there. And if you will honor that, then when it comes time, when you have the need, when you have the hurt, when you have the question, when you have the tragedy or whatever going on in your life, right to you, right to you, right to you, because you've honored the person that God has set there. I had a man years ago come to me. He was so angry at me because I don't even tell you why. He was so angry at me, and he made this statement. He said, you know, I call you pastor, but I do it by faith. Well, I'm not always right. I was right at that time. I'm not always right. But if that's your position, then I can't help you. I'm not the one to help you. I'm not the one to minister to you. If your position is you can only address me as pastor by faith, the offense in you is so deep. There's nothing that I can offer you from God that you're going to hear. The long and short of that was they finally left and just got into some crazy, crazy stuff. And that's very often, that's what happens. Another man in an earlier church got offended at me. Well, I'm just going to start my own church, and we're gonna start it. We're gonna call it the Glory Barn, and we're gonna do it. Okay. It never bothers me when people come in and start churches, because I know if God's in it, it'll make it. If He's not, it won't. It's no big deal. It's not rocket science. If God's behind it, then we want it. We want to support it. We want to help it and pray for it, and it'll go. If He's not behind it, if it's a flesh move, it'll never make it. So He's going to go start the Glory Barn. I said, okay. You know, if God's in it. Well, it's awful, awful. God wasn't in it. His family disintegrates. There was just all kinds of perverse, just terrible things went on. But it started with a fence. It started with a fence. Satan, I don't like to talk about Satan because Jesus defeated him, but nonetheless, he's out there. He's got a voice. And if people choose to listen, they're going to be snared. That's why God has set leaders, pastors, elders, whatever your leadership structure is, he set those people there for your benefit. In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Proverbs says. I tell my church, you know, I don't know everything. In fact, I don't even know a lot. It seems like the older I get, the less I know. But I tell you what, if I can help you, or if we can help you, if we can talk through some things, if we can help you pray through some things, we'll do that. But it's because they honor. It's because they see what God has done. They see who God has brought. I had a couple. One of the reasons I love CrossFit is because there's a diversity of people. Because of the meal, so many people move in. I love that meal because it has given us opportunity to meet people from all over the country. Well, there was a couple that had moved in for the meal. They had never, ever been in any other church but the kind of church that they grew up in. Never been in any other kind of church. And it wasn't anything like this church or my church. Nothing. Very, very staunch and very liturgical and just... And she actually got here before he did. And one day she came to the church, and I noticed she seemed real nervous. And as soon as church was over, shoo, she's gone. Didn't even get to talk to her. Well, she came back another Sunday. Stayed a little bit longer. Well, the long story short, when he moved here, they started coming and have been there now for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And remember, never been in any other kind of church except that one until they came to ours. And he told me the other day, he said, I've never learned so much in a church till I came here. He said, I thought God moved us here for the meal. He moved us here to be in your church. And the things that God has done in their life, just from learning the Word, learning the Spirit, learning the good things that all of us hear all the time. We just know them, but they didn't know them. And because they honored me as a pastor, They listened. They didn't understand everything. They'd never heard some of these things. These things were, they didn't teach that at that church. You understand that? Some things aren't allowed. But they submitted and they listened and they learned. And now their lives have been transformed financially. Their family's been transformed. They have been transformed all because they chose to honor. This is a good stopping place. If I go further, it's going to take me past time, and I don't want to do that. I'll pick up right there next week. We're still on for next week, right? Okay. So listen. Just remember this one thing, and I want to reiterate it one more time. The pastor sees things you don't. Just take that by faith. Just know that. They see things that you don't. And there's an element of trust that you're going to have, because decisions are made, directions are taken, programs are started and or stopped, and you don't know. But you trust because I honor. If somebody's wrong, if somebody's in sin, if somebody's doing crooked things, God is a big, big God. It's His church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Well, He can correct His church too. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God's put you here. Follow, honor, receive, accept, and see what God does. I'm through.